The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And if anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The facilitator, the go-between, the one between two parties. We often call that the middleman. And we all know what that is, don't we? There are plenty of times when being the middleman is a good thing. For instance, perhaps you know a person with a product or a service to sell, and then over here you know somebody in search of that very product or service. For a fee, you can get the two together, and then everyone is happy. Maybe you even buy the product yourself, and then you sell it to those in need. You see that every time you're in the grocery store, and you see the people from the beverage company stocking the beer and wine aisles. And in the end, everybody ends up happy. However, for most of us, when we find ourselves as the middleman, it's between two people who are at odds with each other. This is often known as being caught in the middle. Three siblings, two are fighting, one is stuck in the middle, hearing all the angers and complaints. Same thing can be said for friends. The other two coming to the one person, trying to convince them that they are right and the other person's wrong and the other is the one that needs to change. We've all been there, haven't we? Seemingly stuck. Each side hurling accusations, each side convinced that they are in the right, yet neither side willing to talk to each other. And there you are, ready to simply throw your hands up, yell some impolite things, and then just walk away. But you don't, because you know, deep down inside, you may be the only hope of resolving the issue. So you don't walk away, and neither does Paul. Paul, who is in prison at the time of his writing, finds himself in the middle of a very serious situation. Philemon, who this letter is addressed to, is thought to be a very wealthy individual and likely the head of the church at Colossae, or at least the head of the household where this small church meets. Either way, he is a slave owner, and one of his slaves has escaped. The slave is Onesimus, and it is very likely that Paul knew of Onesimus while he was in service to Philemon, and that is why Onesimus has sought out Paul. And according to the letter, Onesimus is now part of the kingdom through baptism and faith in Jesus.
Now, this is a great thing. Yet, Onesimus is now living under a death sentence because of his escape. And crucifixion was often the mode of execution for escaped slaves. But since his arrival, he has become very useful to Paul while he was imprisoned. Now, at the same time, though, Philemon and his household would have been greatly affected negatively by his escape. So Paul, here, the middleman in this reading, he is the guy caught between two vehemently disagreeing parties and must do something. Onesimus wants nothing more than to live and to be free. But he knows that because of his actions, death is the likely outcome upon his return. Philemon has been wrong, and society has set up a system that says Onesimus must pay a pretty heavy price for his actions. And Philemon is likely demanding his return so that the sentence can be carried out. This seems like a rather odd little letter, doesn't it? To be placed into the canon of Scripture. But you see, the more we contemplate the situation, the more we find ourselves between the lines of this letter. You see, no one here, sitting here this morning, wants to be a slave, do we? We live in America. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we want to be able to live that life to its fullest. Yet something is wrong. We can feel it. We can sense it. We want to do the right thing, but we don't. We want to steer clear of doing wrong, and then we do exactly what we don't want to do. In church terms, we simply call it sin. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So there it is. No matter where we live, no matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter how much freedom we take in this great country, we are still a slave to sin. And like Onesimus, there is a price to be paid for our sin. God says the soul who sins is the one who will die. Paul puts it in a little bit more modern terms when he says the wages of sin is death. So here, we are with Onesimus. Living, knowing summary execution can come at any time. It is the right of the master because of our actions. So what is Paul to do? He does the only thing he can do. He looks to the greatest middleman, the greatest go-between, and models himself after him. And in this letter, Paul becomes the Christ-like figure for both Onesimus and Philemon. If he has done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to my account and I will pay. Paul is willing to lay it all on the line so that Onesimus may return, not only safely, but he is welcomed as a free man. I appeal to you on the basis of love. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer a slave, but as a dear brother. It's difficult not to hear these words and not think of Jesus speaking to the Father. In our sinful condition, there is no way that we could ever make ourselves right with our Father in heaven. Our sins that have been passed down from Adam and Eve separated us from God. In fact, we are enemies of God without hope of any reconciliation. Until Jesus comes. Sent by the Father, the one and only Son comes to us to be one of us. Only he was able to perfectly fulfill God's law. And that perfect, unblemished Lamb of God goes to the cross and he pays the debt we, on our account, for sin. He takes the accumulated weight of all sin and sheds his perfect blood for them that we might be forgiven. And by faith we are. We are forgiven because Jesus stands between us and the Father in heaven as a mediator of the new covenant. And it goes like this. By faith in Jesus' actions on our behalf, we can go to the Father in heaven and say, "Forgive me, for I have sinned." And then Jesus, in the presence of the Father, says, "Charge that to my account." For all of us who are separated from our Lord on account of our sin, we are now welcomed back as dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul, in his dealing with Philemon, notes that forgiveness, the welcoming back of Onesimus, was not simply for forgiveness' sake. No, Paul is saying that once reconciled, Onesimus, who was once useless, now has become useful to both you and me. Having been forgiven of our sin and reconciled back to our Father in heaven, we have become useful members of the kingdom. Now, Paul does not describe what that usefulness was. And no, we don't learn what happens upon Onesimus' return. But I think we can make a pretty good educated guess and say it went well for Onesimus. For Paul writes, "I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask." Was he welcomed back with open arms? Likely. But thankfully for us, we know what our welcome home will be like. With open arms of our Lord, as he welcomes us, his brothers and sisters, to the great feast that has no end, and eternity in the presence of the Savior. See, being caught in the middle is never easy. It was not for Paul. It was deadly for Jesus. But because of Jesus, we receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. Amen. We continue with our...